LYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Shelly Repp, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center in studio. And Shelly, I got to start by saying, hey, we're friends. I hope we always are friends, but I don't really like talking to you about minor domestic sex trafficking.
Jim, I know. Every time I'm here, that's what it's about, is about these kids that are in these really difficult situations. I would love to be out of a job. Man, if we could solve this problem for our state, I'm okay with creating a different job for myself. I'm okay with being out of business when it comes to this.
Well, and this is a tough subject. So I say that right as a precursor for our listeners. This is a tough subject, adult topic. We don't realize how prevalent the problem is, Shelley, but sex trafficking, not just of children, is prevalent throughout our state.
It really is. And I think that, you know, in your little kind of trigger warning there that you started with, Jim, I am amazed that every time I do a training or a presentation around human trafficking, it doesn't matter the group. Like, I just did training for like a little church ladies group that they wanted some education around human trafficking. And inevitably, I have at least one person, if not more, come up afterwards and talk about the sexual violence that was in their life or the exploitation that they survived. And I think that these kinds of issues have been happening for so long and we just didn't recognize them or we didn't address them because this is an uncomfortable topic and it's not something that you think about in these nice, clean Christian circles that we need to talk about, but we do because we need to protect our children. We need to protect the vulnerable people in our communities. And that's what it's about today.
Well, last time you were in, you had Chantal and Jasmine with you.
Yes.
And they're part of your outreach team.
Yes.
Your ministry. And they go out on the street and they actually seek out children that are being trafficked. Describe that.
Right. They are like superhero women, I'm telling you. Yeah, they take teams of volunteers out onto the streets in Albuquerque, and we tend to focus on the East Central Corridor because that's where our drop-in center is located. So that's where our resources are. But they go with some specific supplies. So they've got food, they've got hygiene, they've got water, and then they have very specifically prepared items for those trafficking victims. And their goal is to provide immediate and felt needs. Like, that's an easy way to kind of get and talk to somebody. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? And then as you have that conversation and as you build that relationship week after week after week, when somebody talks with you, you can give them the information to the number to call for them to be able to step away or the resources they need so that they can step away from their trafficker.
When you talk about their trafficker, you're talking about another human being that is controlling them, enslaving them.
Right.
And that's something that, I mean, we talk about freedom. We talk about equality. We talk about all kinds of wonderful things that this country stands for. And I know there's sin. There's people that blow it. There's a little bit of bigotry and different things. And I by no means believe there's a systemic problem with racism in our country. I believe it exists as sin exists. And we need to do what we can to get away with that. And we need to get away from it.
Yeah, let's not get away
with it, Jim. And I don't want to put up with it. I want to hold people accountable. But I also want their hearts changed. And we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is how that heart change happens. And we begin to love people the way they should be loved. But I don't think most of us think about being enslaved today, and that's really what's happening with these young people.
You know, it really is, and I don't think people do understand because there's been so many images in the past about human trafficking where you look at like a girl or a child being handcuffed to a bed. We don't see those kinds of things or very rarely see those things. When we look at the way that they are enslaved in our state, in our city, is it is through the situation with that trafficker that he's able to control them. So they're like circumstantially enslaved in the sense that maybe they don't have education. Maybe they don't have shelter. They don't know where to go. So they're there because of circumstances. Oftentimes, traffickers will purposefully impregnate the girls in their trafficking ring, because then there's this loyalty of, oh, now we have a child together, so I have to stay with this person. I know, that's crazy to think that that's one of their tactics, but it is. So we've got this circumstantial aspect to enslavement. And then there's the psychological aspect. So often, these victims don't consider themselves to be a victim. They think, well, I've made these choices in my life, so I chose him as a boyfriend, so this is what I can expect. Or they're afraid. They're there because of the coercion that's there. And so they feel that if they leave, that they're putting themselves in danger, or even more importantly, they're putting the people that they love in danger, their family that's not involved in this. And so they end up staying, and they're controlled through these different means that the trafficker uses. You know what's crazy about this, Jim? Let me just tell you what's so insane about this whole thing. You can find books on Amazon that teach you how to be a trafficker. So they call them the pimp handbook. And so we did this petition a couple years ago to get this set of books specifically removed from Amazon, because it goes through step by step by step how you traffic a person. And yet it's still happening. And so that's how prolific it is that you can find an instructional manual. How terrible is that?
Well, happening to be the loudmouth on the radio that I am.
Yes, sir.
I am absolutely going to be talking to some people from Amazon. And I'm not part of cancel culture. I'm not going to cancel. But if you are doing something to harm people, you have got to be stopped.
Exactly.
And when you talk about people, I think a lot of people might have in their mind, as I did when I first started talking to you about this subject a couple years ago, oh, these are 16-year-old girls that have rebelled against their parents and run away. But you're talking about children that are 8,
yes,
10, living in cars. You told us about the foster parenting system contributing. Kids will be in and out of 6 or 8 homes between 10 and 16 years of old. I mean, it's a tragedy.
It really, really is. And it is so sad, because I think that oftentimes we really do not on purpose, but it's easy to fall into kind of this victim blame category. It's like, well, this kid did run away, or they made these kinds of choices, and they don't see the backstory that goes into the choices that they made. Like, we talk about one of our clients that was our kind of poster child for why we started our drop-in center, because we've got a drop-in center for teens who are homeless. We want them to come, and we want to, you know, give them things.
Tell us about the harbor.
Yeah, so the harbor. So basically, if you're under 21 years old, you can roll up to the harbor during our business day, so to speak, during the work week, and you can get food. So you can get hot food. You can get food to take away with you, like emergency food, like granola bars and water and stuff like that. You can take a shower. You can get hygiene. You can do your laundry, and you can connect with a case manager to help you get into shelter if you want. Well, the whole reason that came about was because we had 3 clients who had all been trafficked as young, homeless teenagers. And one of them, in her story, she had been kicked out by her mom. She hadn't run away. She was causing all sorts of chaos, and mom was a single mom and was like, I'm done. I can't handle you anymore. And so she kicked her out. And so she looked for places to stay, wasn't able to get into a youth shelter. And a trafficker came up to her, and he's like, you're looking like you're having a bad day. And she's like, I'm having such a bad day. And he's like, do you want to come party? And she made the decision, and she said, yeah. So we look at that, and we go, oh, you made such a bad decision. You got in the car with him. And yeah, 100%, that's a bad decision. But when you are a teenager, and you don't know where you're going to stay, you don't know where your meal is, and you're thinking, maybe I can spend the night at this place. Maybe I'll find one of my friends. Maybe they'll be at the same party, and I can go home with them. And you start thinking of all these different situations. You make decisions that aren't the best to make, but they seem reasonable to you at that time. And that trafficker manipulates and turns that decision around to being something that's dangerous.
You've used terms like leash drug, which is another way that they enslave people. Tell us
Absolutely.
About that.
So we would, so traffickers use the term the leash for black tar heroin specifically, because there's a very quick addiction that can happen with heroin, especially if you use it shooting it up in the IV form. So if you do that, that addiction is so quick and so strong. The other aspect is that when you try to come off heroin, you have some really severe physical symptoms that happen because of that. And so you feel sick. It's like the worst flu you've ever had. And so you don't want to feel sick. So then you have to use again. And so basically by using that, by the heroin helping you use that, you have now formed that connection where he provides those drugs. So even if you want to leave, he's also your drug supplier, and you need this drug to just get through the day because of how awful you feel when you're not using it. So they use drugs like that, but Jim, it's beyond that. Like, it's super common for traffickers to use ecstasy because that acts kind of like a truth serum. And so we have this situation where these older people in their 20s, were inviting high school girls specifically to skip parties. And so a skip party is like you skip school to go to this party, right? And so they'd go to these skip parties, and they would lace their drinks with with ecstasy, so like roofies. And so they'd pass out or semi-pass out, and they ask them all these questions. They would have them take off their clothes. They take pictures of them. And then they use these as coercive pieces for these young girls, and they send them the picture that they took of them naked and said, hey, if you don't want me to put this on social media, you need to come and do, and they give them whatever instructions. And so drug use in this crime is prevalent and used to exploit the victims of the crime.
Shelley, yours is a Christian organization, the New Mexico Dream Center, and you are on the streets trying to help these young people that are being trafficked. Tell us about your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. You can find us online at nmdreamcenter.org. And not only can you find us there, obviously, there's us, but we have information. So you can find out about youth homelessness and what's happening in Albuquerque. You can find out about human trafficking and what's happening there. And so it's a really good resource as well as a way to connect with us. And then we also have two phone numbers. So our main office line is 505-900-3833, and you can call that during business hours. If you need to get a hold of us after hours, we do have a 24/7 text or talk hotline, and that number is 505-504-1301. And the way that you would use that number is if you find somebody who is needing immediate care. So generally, we get calls from the National Human Trafficking Hotline, the kind of master organization around human trafficking, or from law enforcement or other social service providers, when they've got a human trafficking victim with them. And they're like, we don't know where to put them for the night, or we don't know what kind of services we can offer. And so that's where we come in with the hotline, and we can provide those emergency services.
Well, Shelley's outlined in great detail the problem with minor domestic sex trafficking in Albuquerque. Again, I've apologized to you before, but I didn't know this was something that was so prevalent. It obviously is. You're very passionate about it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you interface with law enforcement, because I know there's a lot going on and a lot of people fighting on behalf of our citizens and these young people to protect them. We'll be back with Shelley Rep right after these messages.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org, or call 990-7588.
Albuquerque and Route 66. They go way back.
A lot of people drove through here hoping for a better life. Now, the Route 66 God Loves You Tour is bringing hope to Albuquerque, featuring artists like the Newsboys and Marcos Witt, and a message from Franklin Graham.
Remember this, God loves you.
Bring a friend to the Route 66 God Loves You Tour, coming to Expo New Mexico, Tuesday, September 28th. Learn more at GodLovesYouTour.com.
Through Mission New Mexico, KLYT highlights local nonprofits making a difference in our community. September's focus is on Johnny and Friends New Mexico.
Worldwide, there are over 1 billion people living with disability. Many of these individuals and their families live in poverty, despair, and isolation. At Johnny and Friends New Mexico, we want to change this. We envision a world where every person with a disability finds hope, dignity, and their place in the body of Christ. Johnny and Friends New Mexico and Wheels for the World deliver wheelchairs, medical care, and Bibles to children and families living with disability and poverty in Peru. Answer God's call to disability ministry today.
Johnny and Friends New Mexico, this month's Mission New Mexico. For details, click on the Mission New Mexico link at klyt.fm. A message from KLYT.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Thank you for listening this afternoon. We are talking about minor domestic sex trafficking, heavy-duty subject, probably not for real young ears. Shelly Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, is in studio with me. Shelly, you've got a lot of people in law enforcement that are helping you and working with you. Shout out to some of those people.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first shout out I would say goes to Anthony Mays at the Attorney General's office. So he is the commander of two specific task forces that are working really hard on this issue. So the first one is he is the commander of the New Mexico Human Trafficking Task Force. And so in that role, he really works with law enforcement all around the state of New Mexico, training on best practices around what law enforcement can do to be able to not only just identify, but when they do identify these victims, how to have their officers prepared to be kind of that first level of service so that that person is more inclined to continue with services. Because, I mean, the reality is if a cop treats you real badly, you're less likely to trust them again and you're less likely to get involved in anything they recommend. And so he is really working on trying to help kind of turn the corner on how law enforcement is perceived by specifically by this category of victim.
Now, you might think if you think about this, if you're, say, a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And you're not living in your parents' home for some reason. Maybe your parents are deceased. Maybe they're drug users. Maybe you've escaped that situation. Shelly, you've said that living on the street is sometimes safer than these kids being at home. So they may be terrified of being returned to their home by law enforcement.
Absolutely. Isn't that crazy to think about that? A kid would prefer to be on the streets, specifically of Albuquerque, because we've got some pretty rough streets here. And they would prefer that to being at home. That is a, and should be, a really big indicator of a kid who's in crisis and needs some help when they're like, hey, I'm just going to run away again. But we see this happen with their homes. We see this happen a lot in foster care, that these kids have not been able to do well in foster care. And so it is easier for them to live on the streets than it is to be in those kinds of situations. And so with that, they are afraid. They are afraid that law enforcement is just going to turn them over to whomever or that they're going to be arrested for something. And so the work that Anthony's doing with law enforcement is important. But he also runs the task force for ICAC. And ICAC is Internet Crimes Against Children. And so within that, they are specifically looking for tips. They're watching trends on finding when adults are trying to approach or approaching children for setting up dates, setting up, you know, sexual encounters. And so those are the, you know, two task forces that he's really involved in that really are to benefit the children of our state. So Anthony is 100% a hero, 100%.
And a lot of this is being done on the internet.
Yeah. So primarily, that is the biggest recruitment, I guess, space for traffickers right now that are looking to recruit through a specific model. So there's different models of how human trafficking happens and occurs. And so one of those models we would call the lover boy model. And so that is when an adult is specifically luring somebody for the purpose of turning them into a part of their trafficking ring. So you'll have kind of like, so we'll call him like the Romeo, and he's like, you know, kind of wooing this young person. And his goal is to be able to develop a strong enough relationship with that young person that he can start isolating them from their family, isolating them from school, from friends, from any of those kind of protective resources around them. And as he does that, as his relationship with her grows and becomes more important, she's more likely to leave her home. She's more likely to run away with him. And so that's where it gets super, super dangerous, because it used to be that all of this kind of stuff had to happen, you know, like at malls or like the park or even schools, things like that. But now, Jim, it's all online. And so these traffickers can masquerade as a 14-year-old boy to try to, you know, start a relationship with a 14-year-old girl. And you don't know who's on the other side of that. They do that through social media. They do that through different like hookup apps kinds of things. They do that through video games, like the chat function in video games. And all of this is a means to the end of getting that young person to leave the safety of their home and end up in a situation with them where they end up as a human trafficking victim. So internet crimes against children is super, super important. And, you know, I think I said it the last time, but just as a reminder, so there's tips that are generated through this, right? And so previous to 2020, the tips were about the 300 range. So 300-ish tips for New Mexico a year. During 2020, looking at COVID, when our world changed, tips were over 2,000. So it was 2,200 tips for child enticement in 2020 alone. Like, that is crazy to think about that many tips, but that's what's happening. Those are these adults trying to entice these kids.
Parents need to be aware of what their children are doing on their phones and online with their computers.
Yes, they absolutely need to be aware. And I think 2020, it just became so easy because everything was online. So maybe the parents weren't quite as vigilant around it, but it is something where we need to get that vigilance back. There's a couple of that I would recommend, some like parental control device, not devices, but applications that are super helpful. And so one is bark.us, and it can scan laptops, iPads, you know, any sort of device, and send reports to parents. And then another one that I've used as well as that I loved is Our Pact. You install that on your kid's phone, and you can turn on and off their different applications, so you can let them have time when they can be on social media, and then you can turn social media off at 11 o'clock at night. But then it also lets you know if there's dangerous things, dangerous images, dangerous conversation points. It reads language. It's crazy what they can do. But the goal is to keep your kids safe.
So Anthony is heading up the Internet Crimes Against Children. They're
yes.
limited. 2,200 tips or so, and they're trying to follow those up. What other law enforcement?
So
who else is out there helping?
So I would really give a shout out to the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office, because they have a special unit called the Ghost Unit, and the Ghost Unit is headed up by Kyle Woods. He's their sergeant, and what they do is they follow up with runaway kids, and so kids that have been listed as runaways, kids who have run away from foster care, any of those things, this unit follows up with those kids, because those kids are extremely, extremely vulnerable. And so Kyle and his officers are phenomenal. And the reason is they have such good personnel skills with these young people. Like, they're very personable. They go out of their way to create really solid relationships. In fact, get this. So one of the first kids that Kyle Woods and I worked on together in the sense that he had done the investigation and she ended up, we provided services for her and she actually ended up living in my home for a while. And, so she just had her 19th birthday. We started working with her. I think she was 14 when I got involved. She just had her 19th birthday in mid-August, and so we had this little birthday celebration for her here in Albuquerque, you know, took her out for lunch, and Kyle and his guys showed up to that birthday lunch for her and brought her cards and talked with her and visited with her and checked on her, do you feel safe, is there anything you need? Like, that is over and above what anybody does in law enforcement, but these guys do that because her life matters and it matters to them. And so they're amazing examples of beautiful law enforcement folks.
Shelley, how does ministry enter into this? I know you spend time making a relationship with somebody and you need to help them be safe. I can't remember the quote exactly. I posted it on Facebook. I thought it was profound, but you said pretty hard to introduce somebody to the gospel and to the person of Jesus when they don't feel safe.
Yeah, exactly. When you think about, there's this like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it's like a social, you know, like social workers always refer to this. And basically it goes through kind of the basic things that people need to be able to exist. And those base levels of having safety, of having food, having warmth. If you don't have those things, it is really hard to hear anything that would be higher level thinking. So when you think about our relationship with Christ, that is this higher level thinking. And of course, we want to say things like, Jesus provides and God provides. Well, he provides through us, right? That's how he works, is he uses us as his force here on this earth. And so, if we want to preach to somebody, there's kind of this process that I've seen that works. So first of all, you have to develop relationship. When you have relationship with somebody, then you can speak truth to them. If you try to speak truth to somebody without relationship, there's no reason for them to listen to you. And then they're going to turn around and go, you're being judgy, you know, this or that. So you have relationship. Relationship leads to conversation where you can talk about the truth. Truth leads to change, and that is the key thing, that change for following Christ, that change for deciding it's more important to give up drugs than to keep doing it. All of those things happen because of that core of establishing relationship and being able to provide those basic needs. Like, I think, Jim, here's the deal. I came from a meeting right before we came here, and I didn't have lunch before I came. I'm a little bit hungry. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I think, you know, if I were really hungry, it would be super hard for me to concentrate on what we were talking about if all I'm thinking about is, where is my next meal? Am I going to have a next meal? Mm-hmm. So that's what we need to look at, is that basic level of being the good stewards that we can be with our people.
So if you're deceptively drawn into this enslavement by a trafficker, does there come a point where you've been made to do sexual things? Is there a place where you click and go, this person's not for me?
You hope so, but this is what, this is why believers are so important, right? So one of the models, one of the things that we look at, or the philosophies, I guess, that we embrace, is this concept of stages of change. And so when somebody is in a situation like trafficking, they can't see outside of it. This is all their world. This is just how I exist. This is how I get through the day. I use my drugs. I have to do these dates. This is just all that I can contain. And you live in there until there's an interruption in that. You live until there's some sort of interruption. And that interruption allows for you to start thinking of, maybe I can leave. Maybe there's possibility. And so when you start thinking of those types of things, it allows you to start then planning, like, okay, so I can't, this is all I can do to survive. Wait, there's an interruption. Somebody's told me that there's resources out there that they can help me with this. Let me think about that. Maybe I can step away. What would that look like? And so as that, then they can progress to, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't that fun. I don't like sleeping in bandos around Albuquerque. So how do I do this? Let me plan this so I'm safely. So they start planning. After planning, they execute. They decide that they're going to leave. This is why outreach is important, Jim, is we look at it as part of these stages of change, and we play the long game for this. We had one of our volunteers, we were talking, having an outreach meeting, and they were talking about how a couple of people had decided they didn't want to do outreach anymore because they're like, we don't see any fruit. Like, what's happening with that? And we're like, you don't see the fruit, but what we're doing is we're building this system for them to be able to make the decisions to leave. And that's what it is, because if we don't do outreach, there's no intersection where they hear that there's hope, that there's another way, that there's a place they can go to get services. And that's why outreach is so important.
Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. We're going to talk more about the Dream Center. We're going to talk about some stories of children that they've helped. And Shelley's been directly, she already mentioned she's had kids in her home. She's been a foster parent. She's got a gamut of being a bio parent, foster parent, and all of the above.
Grandparent? I'm old, Jim. You know I'm old.
Well, the problem is that if you're old, that makes me ancient of days, and we'll talk about that another time. We'll be back with Shelley Rep right after these messages.
We're called to share our faith, but too often we lack the confidence. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association can help. The Christian Life and Witness Course. This 3-hour class can strengthen you as a Christian and give you confidence in sharing the gospel with others. This class is a lead-in to the Franklin Graham Route 66 God Loves You Tour coming this fall. And it's free. The Christian Life and Witness Course. Dates, locations, and more information are at GodLovesYouTour.com.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
There was a man who came to Jesus who had spent his entire life trying to be a good person. And he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Well, I should probably love God with all my heart and love every person, my neighbor, like I love me." And Jesus, in hearing him summarize the sweeping statements of the Old Testament so well, said, "Perfect. Do that and you'll be fine." You see the point I'm making? A man who had tried his entire life to be a good person says, "Well, we should all just try and be good people." And Jesus said, "Awesome. If you're capable of doing that, do it and you'll be fine." Insinuating you're not a good person.
Levi will be speaking at Calvary Wednesday night, September 29th.
It's back. It's back. The Toby Mac Kids Deep Tour 2022. Oh, Lord, featuring Toby Mac with special guest Crowder, Kane, Cochran and Company, and Tarion. Friday, February 11th at Rio Rancho Event Center. Save 20% on tickets for a limited time with the offer code INSIDER at awakeningfoundation.com. Brought to you by Food for the Hungry and Altrua Health Share Ministries, an Awakening Foundation event.
The KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, is in studio. And again, a little bit of a warning. We're talking about minor domestic sex trafficking. Sex trafficking in our state is just so prevalent. We've got this crisis at the border, Shelley, and that's just exacerbating the problem.
It absolutely is. When you look at what's happening with the border, you've got so many different moving pieces within that, because you've got people who are obviously trying to come into the United States, which makes them desperate. And when you're desperate, you're vulnerable. Those two things go hand in hand. And so just like the story I related earlier about the 16-year-old who made bad decisions because she was vulnerable, we see that happening at just this really great rate down at the border. But not only that, so people who are in vulnerable situations that maybe make questionable decisions, so they end up getting involved with a trafficker or a smuggler or something like that because they think that will help them get into the United States. So you see that, but in addition to that, you've got outright predators that are on the border that are looking for these children, looking for these vulnerable people, and their purpose is nefarious. Like, their purpose is to be able to put them in this situation where they end up as a sex trafficking, or excuse me, as a sex slave.
When you talk about the prevalence, though, that means that there's this huge demand,
yep.
And that bothers me even more.
It does. So when you think about anything that's living, so we're saying, okay, so here's sex trafficking, right? Here is, it's not going away. It's growing. Despite all of this, there, it's like a plant. There's roots and it goes all the way up, stem, leaves, you know, flower, reproduction, fruit, you know, this whole thing. And that all exists in this sex trafficking ethos. So the roots of that are the demand. And so we are driving demand in the United States, and the primary driver has been identified as pornography. This is like the gateway into sex trafficking for people, for children who are trafficked. It's the gateway into purchasers, people who are buying this. It is something that's used as a tool by traffickers. And so every aspect of pornography is surrounded by trafficking, every aspect.
And I would say that if you ask most men, if they were candid and they said they used pornography, they would say something like, this is a private thing. Nobody knows I'm doing this.
Right. It's just victimless, right?
It's victimless. There you go. And that's not really true.
It's not. So let me tell you some of the examples of how pornography is absolutely not victimless. So first of all, anything that has to do with a child, we just need to know that they don't have consent. And so any form of child pornography, whether they think that they're portraying this child as barely legal or anything like that, you don't know. So we're just going to say right there, anything with child pornography absolutely is abusive, coercive, and horrific. So then when you look at the other aspects, so number one, pornography is used by traffickers in training their trafficking victims, training the people that are in their organization as, this is what we would like you to do, or this is what you can expect. If you have a date and he wants you to do these things, this is how that works. So they use it in training. They use that for children when they're trafficking. They use that for adults. Very often, especially if you are accessing the person you're purchasing through like a bordello or a brothel, then there are cameras set up and you are being recorded. And so they oftentimes will do that. They will have trafficking victims and they use them for fetish porn. And so they will specifically keep them and train them on these specific parts for that aspect of pornography. The thing with pornography is it's kind of the same thing like the predation that happens on social media is you don't know the behind the scenes picture. So you might be looking at that and you're like, well, that person looks happy. I don't know. Maybe they look a little drugged. I don't know, or whatever. And you don't think about the backstory that goes behind that, the production of that pornography.
I would say that if you're a man and you believe you have a pornography addiction, I've had a ton of men come on this show. Married men frequently have guests on the show that have said, yeah, I used to use pornography. And to confess that sin is to be released from that sin and to be healed. Maybe it's like an alcoholic thing where once you have that, you have a propensity to it. So, but you become so sensitive and so much wanting to honor God that you cut every opportunity for that out of your life. It's like you don't if you're an alcoholic, you don't go to bars and hang out at the bar. I mean, I think you can be, God will free you from that addiction. And that will actually, without you even knowing it, help this situation.
Right. I was going to say, when people are like, how can we help? I'm like, well, let's not view pornography. And then maybe if people aren't viewing pornography, that industry can die out. Because it's legal. It's legal in the United States. Mm. And so to try to take on that is, boy, that's a big thing to take on.
Shelley, do we need some updated laws in New Mexico to help fight this problem?
We absolutely do. So here is kind of our situation. In 2010, that's when trafficking became an enumerated crime. So essentially that means that you could be penalized for it. So 2010 is when that happened. And then it stayed. It was in stasis. Nothing happened around the criminal code until 2018. In 2018, it was passed through the legislature that a child, so under the age of 18, a child could not be arrested or prosecuted as a prostitute. So if there's that young 16-year-old kid out there that you're like, oh, they're selling sex, that they need to be seen as a victim and not as a criminal. And so that happened in 2018. And so that became a kind of a game changer, because previous to that, law enforcement could absolutely and would absolutely use that to pick up these young kids that they saw and would charge them or would arrest them for.
And I'd be willing to bet there's traffickers right now telling young people that you'll be arrested.
Oh, 100%.
It's a lie.
Yeah, they absolutely, because this is part of their control mechanism, is it's like, hey, you will be arrested if you're caught. So make sure you do this, or make sure you say you're this age, or, you know, any of those number of things. And so we haven't had any progression since then. So what we really need to do is we really need to now look at this crime of trafficking and make that crime have a higher level of penalty associated with it. Right now, if you're trafficking, your base kind of punishment is like 3 years. So you'll get a 3-year penalty where you go to prison for 3 years, unless they can add all sorts of other crimes, which you always hope that they can, especially when it comes to sex trafficking. But 3 years isn't really very much for controlling and selling a person, especially controlling and selling them for sex like this. And so we feel that we need to take the definition of trafficking and we need to specialize in sex trafficking. And so if you are caught and prosecuted as a sex trafficker, you should be considered a sex criminal because you are part of that whole industry. So looking at what sex crimes are, because you're promoting rape, you're promoting all of these other sex crimes. And so that is the kind of legislation that we've been trying to pass for the last 3 years, is changing the definition from trafficking to sex trafficking so that we could add the criminal code that comes with being a criminal that is involved in sex.
Do you have a bipartisan group of people? You've already mentioned some people in law enforcement. Are you working on legislation right now that you want introduced in the next session?
So we have some legislation that has been put together by bipartisan group. So we've got attorneys that have been part of developing this legislation. We've had research assistants going and looking at what New Mexico passes and doesn't pass. We have service providers. And so it's definitely bipartisan. So right now, looking at legislature for 2022, this is our short season because we don't have, you know, we don't have professional legislators. We have a citizen legislature. And so this is our 30-day session as opposed to our 60-day session. The 30-day session is generally about just approving budget for the next year. So there's not a lot of new legislation that's introduced. So right now, kind of with this team, that's what they're talking about, is do we go through this and we try to push this anyways? Part of it is talking to the different legislators and seeing if we do, will they help push it through? Because we can't just introduce it without having support. And so we've worked with Senator Crystal Diamond, who is down in TRC, who's been an excellent advocate for children legislation. And so we're looking to see if it's even worth that effort on a year when it's not likely to be voted on.
And you've got a governor that you could approach and say, we want this in the legislative session, because she can basically introduce anything
exactly.
she wants. Exactly. And I'm having a hard time understanding why anyone would object to having
right
increased penalties, because law enforcement's really hampered in their prosecution of these criminals, aren't they?
Well, they are, because they've, you know, again, you have to go by what our criminal code says. We don't have good definitions around it. So even judges, when they're looking at penalties, we don't have good criminal code around there for them to have things to refer to. So it's kind of whatever that judge decides. And so we've had huge fluctuations because we just don't have that built in. I think that, Jim, when you talk about why would anybody be against something like this, I think that's a really big question that we need to ask Senator Joseph Cervantes, who is the Senate Finance Committee Chair. And that's where our legislation has been stalled every year we've tried to introduce it. And not only our legislation, Jim, but last year, there was all sorts of children reform, because our Children, Youth, and Families Department and our Children's Code really needs some help and needs more, needs a little bit more bang for its buck. They need reform. And all of that was stalled by Senator Joseph Cervantes from Las Cruces, who is the committee chair.
I think we need to, as the Christian community, we need to say, look, Joseph Cervantes needs our prayers.
100%.
He needs our compassionate, wise counsel.
100%.
There's a way to approach people. You know, you can be right and wrong at the top of your voice.
Yes.
And I want people to have that compassion. I want them to do what Colossians 4 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt. That doesn't mean you have to be wimpy.
Right.
Just say the truth. Talk about the truth. But
right.
Don't be threatening. Don't be highly emotional. This is a highly emotionally charged issue.
Topic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is. So we've got one more segment with Shelley. We hope you'll stay with us. Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. We'll be right back.
Heart songs. There's a psalm for that. The Fall Sheology Study at Calvary Westside, Tuesday night, 6:30, starting October 5th. Arrive early for the pop-up market and food trucks, then stay for worship, Bible study, and fellowship. No cost, but you must register at sheology.org. Download the Calvary Church check-in app to enter weekly giveaways. The family room is available for attendees with children. Online viewing is an option, including a Zoom discussion group after the teaching. Details at sheology.org.
Have you ever dreamt of a career in radio? Do you have a passion to serve Jesus? Well, at KLYT, we're looking to hire a few part-time board operator positions, and you could be the candidate we're looking for. As we return to normal, our need for help has only increased. Whether engineering live services from Calvary Church, assisting with production, or being involved with events, this could be your opportunity to serve in ministry while also getting on-the-job training in radio. Shoot us your resume online at calvarynm.church/jobs.
Frustrated? Look up. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. Have you ever wondered how frustrating it must be for a major league slugger to be in a hitting slump? In moments of frustration, we usually have negative reactions and don't know how to get out of the situation. But if we're self-aware and if we're taking inventory of our thoughts, words, or actions, we will often see that a small, simple adjustment in our attitude, words, or actions can make all the difference in the world. You see, if we allow it, frustration can serve as a mirror that shows us the truth of our ways. Frustration can also be catalytic because it leads us to wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 states, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." When we see why we're frustrated with our job, our finances, or relationships, it can cause us to clearly see the path forward to bring about the change necessary for our lives.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio, where faith and sports collide at visionforlife.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Shelley Rep. She is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. I want to mention to everybody that the Harbor, which is a drop-in center for young people to come in. Shelley, you would love to have that open 24/7.
I would. That would be what our goal is, because right now with the kind of business hours that we have. It's very manageable, but that's not always where the need is. And in fact, in looking at even with our hotline, like, you know, we're saying it's 24/7, but we are limited in what we can do because we don't have a 24/7 facility. And so I would love for the harbor to be open 24/7 because it would just open up so many more opportunities for these young people.
And that's why we need to tell people about your fundraiser coming up.
That's right. That is exactly why. Hey, that was a clever lead-in. We are having a fundraiser on October 20th. And so this is, we call it the Breakfast of Champions. In fact, you know, the shout outs that I was doing earlier with our law enforcement, we're going to be giving some awards for those law enforcement partners and other people in our community who've done some amazing things. But essentially, this is our annual seminal fundraiser where we get a good chunk of the budget that we get to. The nice thing about this part of the budget is we have flexibility in how we can spend it. So it allows us to spend things on things at the harbor that we couldn't do with some of our other streams of funding. And so not only for the harbor, Jim, but, you know, New Mexico still does not have any dedicated beds for these kids who have survived. And so some can go in foster care, but we don't have a foster care training program. So there's not a lot of options. So we also have had a piece of property that's been donated, and the property owners who donated it are doing some of the infrastructure development, like digging a well and building roads. But we have to build the house. And so we're also looking at fundraising to be able to have that house for those young people who have been trafficked and need the next year for recovery.
Tell us a positive story, a win.
Yeah. Let me tell you a win. This is one of my favorite stories. So we are working with this young gal, and she was first trafficked at 8 years old. So her mom was involved with drugs. And what her mom did was she dropped off her daughter at this friend's house. Well, this friend was a trafficker. So she dropped her daughter off there for them to, like, babysit her kid. And she ended up staying 3 weeks there. Her mom showed back up, picked her up. And these kinds of trafficking situations happened through the rest of her life. Like, they happened through her, you know, young formative years and then into her teen years. So she ends up getting pregnant.
I got to stop you. This is an 8-year-old girl.
8-year-old little girl.
And there's people that want to sexually exploit her?
Yes. And people who are willing to pay to have sex with her. And not only that, Jim, this girl is a special needs girl. So she is even more vulnerable because she has some special needs. And so she was in all instances taken advantage of. Well, so this happened several times throughout her childhood. Her mom would drop her off, disappear for a couple weeks, and then come back and pick her up. And so this happened. She ended up getting pregnant when she was 15 years old. And that's when she got referred to us because she wanted to have the baby and they needed to figure out where she's going to stay. What are we going to do? So we were able to kind of connect with some of the foster parents that we've worked with. And we're like, hey, we need a solid. This girl needs a home. And so she was able to come up and stay in this really wonderful foster home where these parents just wrapped around her. They just, like, considered her their kid, and they just took care of her, like, took her on vacation. So she gave birth just shortly after she arrived at that home and has been with them ever since. So she's now 18 and is kind of going through the steps of what it might look like to live independently and all of these things. So here's the stuff that's so beautiful about this. She's never had a family that she could look to that was safe for her to be with. She has this family, this foster family. They're her forever family at this point. And so she can spend holidays with them. They take her on all of their vacations. Like, she is their daughter. They have grown kids. All their grown kids consider her to be their little sister. And so she has this family now. When you have family, you have support. So when she does move out, she's got support already built in. But they don't even worry about it. Like, they don't even care. She can live there until she's 21 there. Well, I'm saying that. I'm putting words in their mouth. But from my conversations, my interpretation of this is that she's welcome to stay there. And there to help raise her baby for as long as she wants to be. So her expressed goal is, she's like, I'm breaking the cycle. My child will never go through this. I will never put my baby in this kind of situation. And so that whole thing that happened in her life, she's breaking that cycle for the sake of her child. And how amazing is that? Because that doesn't happen all that often. But yet, that's what we've seen here.
You said earlier in the show that God works through us.
He does.
And that's really the answer. That's what you just described.
Right. Like, when we think about how God does miracles, we need to understand that so often we're the miracle. We're the answer. You know, somebody's praying for whatever miracle, and God has you as that intersecting person, that intersecting party to be the miracle. Live your miracle life. Like, answer that call that God has and be that person.
People, empty nesters.
Yes.
Great opportunity maybe to foster parent. Do you provide some training for
people?
We
do. We do. And so we actually are looking to recruit people in that age category, because empty nesters are awesome for our kiddos. They, you know, their kids are grown. They've already had teenagers. And let me just tell you, if you're taking a teen who's been through terrible things in their life, already having had a teen really, really helps you down the road than this idealistic couple that's never had a teen. I'm just saying, you know, get broken in by the teens in your own life. But so they've already had teenagers. They are young enough to still do things. They're not going to look at having foster care and the money that's associated with it as money that they have to live on. This is money that's supposed to take care of this kid, because there is money that is involved a little bit. And it gives them that flexibility to really help that kid take those steps. And that's what we need. I love empty nesters for that.
And that's a ministry.
100%.
And to love somebody for the rest of their life. You're not calling people to a 1 year.
Right.
You're calling them to love somebody for the rest of their lives.
Isn't that what you would want with your children? Mm. Like, you know, that's what I want for my children. I want to love them the rest of their life. And so I think about other people's, isn't that what we would want? We would always want that, to know that you've got a place to call home.
How are you working now to expand your services? You mentioned that you've got a long-term care.
Yeah, so we're working on that residential piece, because we know that there's nothing like that in New Mexico. And so we're really looking at putting that together so we've got some good beds. We are looking at the state strategically, Jim. So we have a contract with the Attorney General's office, and we are looking at how we can improve outcomes for these young people across the state of New Mexico, putting in resource pathways for them, and then looking at the education side, and not just public education, like going to APS, but going to PED, the Public Education Department, and look at what kind of curricula can we get into schools through PED.
It always makes me nervous when you talk about, I'll just call it sex education, because
right.
This is that.
Yes.
It seems like public education always wants to remove parental rights when you start talking about those kinds of topics.
They oftentimes do. And I, you know, I can't speak for the schools because I'm not an employee, but this is what I would say. You want your daughters to know what I'm going to tell them about trafficking, because then they're equipped to not fall for that kind of stuff.
Amen. If you suspect somebody is being trafficked.
Yes.
Call 911.
Yeah. Seriously, we're not law enforcement. We can't kick down doors. But when you call 911 and you say, I think there is sex trafficking that is happening in my neighborhood, down the street, apartment, they're the ones that can do those kinds of investigations. Call me when you've got that kid, or you see that kid that needs a little extra help. That's when you call me, and we're happy to go and help that kiddo out.
Give your contact information.
Sure. NMDreamCenter.org is our website. You can call my main line at 505-900-3833, or my text or talk hotline at 505-504-1301.
And we already mentioned that this topic requires a lot of prayer.
So much prayer. Please keep praying. Don't stop. It's making a difference.
Yeah. The New Mexico Dream Center is a ministry. Shelley Rupp has been the executive director, founded the organization here. You've got a board of directors that needs prayer. You've got a fundraising event coming up October 20th.
Yes.
And where will that be held?
So it's going to be at Hope EV Church. They're hosting it for us. You can find information if you look at Breakfast Benefit on our website.
Thank you, Shelley. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It was great.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.